Hello, hello. Thank you for tuning into today's episode of Joel Saves Big. If you do want to be a guest on my show, feel free to DM me at Joel Saves Big on Instagram. Hope you enjoy. Thank you all for joining today's episode of Joel Saves Big. Today I have Jay from Jay Millennial. I'll tag his handle in the show notes. Jay, would you mind introducing yourself to everyone?
Sure. Hey, yes, everybody. My name is Jay Millennial. Y'all may see me on my Instagram, which is the same name, Jay Millennial. I am 28 years old now, and I have a net worth of $1.4 million.
That is crazy. Jay, I see you have your net worth in 2014 as negative $25,000. I know you're a big believer in slow and steady wins the race and value investing and growth investing. Like, how do you stay on track? Now 7 years and you're not done yet.
Absolutely. So 7 years in, there's some goals that I have outlined for myself year over year. And the way I stay on track is I like to take this big goal, like, you know, a million by 30, and you put it into bite-sized goals. Like, to get there, I need to save X into my 401k, X into here, get these promotions, land these certifications, get this projected salary, stuff like that.
Got it. And how do you determine, like, where did that goal come from? Like, million by 30? Is that just like a dream in your head? And then you decided, let me see how I can achieve it.
Yeah. It's funny because I was reading a blog called Financial Samurai, which is one of my absolute favorites. And he said the first million is the hardest, and it took him X number of years. And it also got some luck on his part. And I thought to myself, well, if I start early, I think I can also hit that goal too. Like, it sounds like, wow, that is a huge number. I think I can do it. So it's a bit of that mindset.
I see. And what got you to start the Instagram page? I know you're anonymous. I remain anonymous as well. Like, what made you decide, like, I'm going to start an Instagram page to as sort of like a money journal for everybody? Yeah.
The reason why I do that is through my encounters with different people, it seems like money is a taboo topic. And what I've noticed is, if you can make money more accessible to people, the knowledge, the expertise, the experience that people can learn from, people are willing to do it. It's just that people don't want to have the conversations, or they're too scared to start. So when they come pop on my page, ask a few questions, I don't know who they are. They don't know who I am, but it's a community. And I feel like this is one way that I like to give back is by creating this page, just sharing what I've learned over the years.
I love that. I used to follow you on my personal page. Didn't ask questions because for that reason, it's pretty cool and crazy. Like the following that you've created and how you always pretty much respond to every single comment unless they request to invest in Bitcoin. So, I mean, that's pretty cool. And I love that you are always looking to give back. And it is such a taboo topic. Like, I'm Indian and like, I didn't know what my parents made until they filled out the federal loan application, and I was shocked. I'd love to change that for my future children and my future wife as well. Is like set up like, hey, this is money. You know, it's just a number that we have, and we need to plan for our future. Speaking of, how do you determine, like, you just made a recent post about your net worth and holding a lot of cash, planning for something big. How do you determine how much you're going to invest versus hold in cash or save in current state?
Sure. So the way I like to determine it is I need to have at least the amount to cover my own expenses, of course. So I like to keep about 9 months of expenses because I feel like if I have to switch a job today, it might take me up to 9 months. It might take me less, might take me more, but 9 months is a decent baseline. And if the economy were to tank, I feel like, you know, in 9 months, we might see things better. Of course, the 2008 recession told us otherwise, like 3 years, but I don't think I need to hold that far. Now, most people say 3 months. I say, no, I'm holding 9 months, and I would recommend it. Now, anything beyond 9 months, though, like 9 months of my expenses would be 36,000. Anything beyond 36,000 is just going to be invested. So you see that I have 160,000 cash. Now, the way I'm planning to deploy that is I'm going to buy a couple of investment properties. And I know that I want to buy at least one every single year. I just got lucky because I sold this house and I have more cash than I can deal with because I already had the 60,000 that I was going to spend on a property. But lo and behold, here comes some more. And now I'm sitting on 160 instead. I don't want to invest it in the market because I feel like I want to keep my allocation 50-50 exact between the equities and also the rental properties. So I'm trying to be careful there. That's why I'm holding more cash, because I'm going to turn that to property and even out my net worth allocation.
I see. And I know you're a big car aficionado. Always seeing about Maserati in Target parking lot, Maserati in the Walgreens parking lot, Maserati when you're getting your boba.
Correct.
Is that something that is like keeping you going, right? So like you're sort of like a visual like goal is like, I'd love to eventually have this car, right? You drive your Toyota Camry, you have your Maserati, but you also want this next car. Like, is that something that you consider?
Yes, I resonate with that, because what I do is I like to hold a totem of everything that I want to own someday, whether it's a car key or if it's a small version of that thing or even a picture of that thing. And what I do is, you know, what do I need to do to get to that one? Currently, I have a key to a Ferrari California. That's the next car I want to get, actually.
Wow.
So I put my goals in such a way that it will ultimately lead to that. And what I'm trying to do is not dig into my W-2 income. I want it to be all passive income, just like I'm paying for this current car.
Get money, buy income. I like that. Yep. So these cars that you have is not from your full-time job. This is from money that you're earning passively?
Correct. Yes. My YouTube channel pays for that thing at least two times over every single month. So that's an example.
Wow. That is crazy. And how long did it take to get that first, where your first, I guess, passive income source that paid enough for an expense that you had?
So I figured that was in 2019 or late 2018. I was making at least, I think, a $5,000 dividend portfolio. And, you know, this Maserati is not an expensive one. So I realized, holy crap, if I can build a couple more of these passive income streams, I could pay for more of my lifestyle in one, either retire myself early, or two, do something fun with that money that I don't usually do with the rest of the money because I'm always investing it. Yeah. So I think about it like that.
I see. So enjoying now by setting goals for yourself and then continuing to strive to achieve them. Absolutely. You do all this by budgeting or you're not a budgeter?
I'm not a budgeter. I don't do zero-based budgeting. But here's what I do do is I try to keep a spending limit on my credit card. So example being, I cap my spending to $1,500 across all my categories. Of course, except mortgage, except car payment, all that stuff. So if I spend more on food but less on something else, so be it. If I hit a $1,500 cap, I'm done for the month. If I spend more on going out, I'll spend less on food. And there it is. I'm just going to check my card bill. And if it's under $1,500, I'm not going to complain.
I see. Yeah, I mean, I'm the same way. Everyone that I've spoken to thus far, just a conversation. And if anyone does want to join, feel free to DM me. I'd love to speak with you. But I'm the same way where I don't budget. I just use my credit card, but I know what I'm spending. I don't have credit card debt. I just let it pay itself off, automatic payments. And if it's over my threshold, for me, is $1,000. I'm 23, so not there yet with higher expenses. Yeah. But if it's over $1,000, I have a trigger that sends an email through Chase Bank, like, "Hey, your balance is over $1,000." I check it, and I'm like, "Yep, I knew that was coming. I went on vacation, went to a wedding, bought my little brother something." That's where I'm just like, I'm the same way, because for me, it's the cost of something that PhD on Fire says is like, is at what point is the cost, the time worth the cost savings? And for me, I don't find value in budgeting in current state. Maybe in the future I might, but I just, it's hard to do. But it's cool to hear from someone who is somewhere where I want to be, hopefully by 30, not also budget and still being able to make it, which is so cool.
Totally.
Your net worth was negative 25,000. What was that debt comprised of?
Student loan debt plus this car that I had purchased at the time.
I see. And did you focus on paying off that debt before you got aggressive with investing and a high savings rate?
No. So I would just pay that down, typically monthly payments as it is. Nothing else spectacular, actually. Like, I paid it off. Well, I paid the student loan debt about a couple of years earlier than I did, but I wish I didn't, actually, because I would have made more in the market than I did paying down that debt. You know, if your loan and rate is 2.99%, it's something that I can hang over my head and not lose sleep over.
Yep. And that's something that I've struggled with too. Yep. If you make more, but the chances is high. It's very, for me, I would say that's where I'm struggling with now is I just got my remaining 25,000 refinanced at 3.2%. Mm-hmm. And it's like, okay, I know it'd be nice to not have to pay $500 a month to student mm-hmm. loans, but also if I could max out my Roth and then still pay extra, I could invest it and still pay extra later. That's something that I struggle with now. Is there like a number that you would say is that like that threshold of like a percentage? Like, is it 8%? Is it 6%?
Yeah, my threshold is 5%. So I had a mortgage that was 5.125%. And I was thinking, my gosh, I think I can pay this faster. Ultimately, mm-hmm. I ended up refinancing that mortgage. But then again, I ended up selling that house as well. So that's out. And now my rate is 2.7. So,
wow.
Yeah.
And with hundreds of thousands of dollars, that's a lot of money difference.
Yes, it is. Huge difference.
With your properties, are they long-term or short-term rentals?
They're all long-term. I do want to get into short-term though. So I'm looking for opportunities. Wink, wink, if anyone's looking. Or know somebody.
Yeah. I mean, you're speaking to someone. I currently manage a short-term rental property here in Nashville where I live. And okay. I am speaking with another investor who wants to invest out of state but doesn't know where to start. So short-term rentals is my gig. I love messaging the customers. I have a good cleaning setup, but I do also want to get into long-term. It's a lot more passive. Like I will say, like short-term rentals and dealing with all of that and calling a plumber, calling everybody is active. But personally, I enjoy that. Like that's where my passion is. But that's where it's hard to find that balance of I'm not going to quit my 9-to-5 since it pays more in current state. But mm-hmm. what can I do on the side while still being able to enjoy my life, which is something that I think you do really well with selling your TVs. I know you do have a link in your bio at J Millennial for those who are interested. Can you tell us more about that?
Yeah, that's a fun thing. And it was funny because I didn't come up with that idea myself. It's my girlfriend that did. She's like, what if we flip that TV? Because we were at Walmart and it was a Schecter 50-inch for like $176 online. Uh-huh. And I remember buying one of them. And then she said, what if we just flip it for $250? Will that work? And then we flipped that first TV. And then after that, bought literally 10 more TVs. All those went pretty fast. I'm thinking, don't these people look online? Clearly they don't. So they ended up buying them and no one ever came back to return them. So we're thinking, holy heck. And then I looked on used market because it was around Thanksgiving season. Yep. And there was a lot that were selling them at low prices. And I was thinking, shoot, I could buy 10 of these. So bought them and realized flipping used TVs makes a lot more than flipping more new TVs. So it just became that. And then now it's just a side hobby. Like if I go to a specific place in Dallas area now, I'm thinking, is there a TV in that area? Because I'll pick it up on the way back and flip it. So
and get your boba
that way. Right, exactly. Yeah. So
awesome. Yeah. I mean, I find it so cool and interesting, like a creative way, you know, to make money. Like I'm currently dog sitting. I get paid to stay at someone's house. I have to walk them a couple times. It's easy, you know.
Yep.
What do you do with that side hustle money? As we call it, side hustling.
What do I do with it? So a lot of it ended up in the market. So I have a Bitcoin portfolio and I'm just stacking that one. I think that's the most of it actually. 25,000-30,000. Yeah. Yeah. I think all the TV money went into Bitcoin or Ethereum.
I see. So it's more of like your play money with crypto. I know you're new to crypto. I'm scared to get into it. What got you into crypto?
Well, just understanding what is the premise behind it and then the driver behind it, why people are trying to move in that direction. Like, you know, hey, government control, government's getting too big. If they crash, you know, where's the place that we can park our money instead? It's the lack of trust that people are having towards society over time that I feel like this may actually take over. Of course, I'm not willing to put my whole net worth into it, but I'm willing to speculate a little bit. So that's why I have 1-2% into that.
I see. So a calculated risk, you would say?
Absolutely.
Awesome. I know we're running short on time, but if you were ever to meet a stranger, what is one thing that you would tell them about personal finance?
I would just tell them that it's about defining goals that matter to you, and it's about being comfortable with where you are at and where you want to be.
Awesome.
And it's a balance act.
Awesome. Defining goals that matter to you and defining where you want to be. That's amazing. Well, Jay, thank you again for taking your time out of your busy schedule to speak with me. And if anyone does want to follow up with Jay or connect with him, he's a very approachable person at JayMillennial on Instagram. Thanks, Jay.
Thank you very much, and hope you have a great day.
Thank you again for tuning into today's episode. If you want to follow today's guest, the link is in the show notes. If you haven't already, it'd be greatly appreciated if you can follow the podcast on the platform that you're listening on. Just a reminder that personal finance is personal, and it's not like the average jolt.